Merci Nicolas. Thanks. Hi. So I'm going to, within this framework, I'm going to present two projects that both deal with the politics and ways of subverting politics of search engines. One is Shmoogle and the second is Image Tracer. So a few words about myself, since it is very relevant for the the beginning of my research in this field. Originally, I am educated in mathematics and computer science, and at some point, before going further with those studies, I was more and more fascinated by the social and political implications and analysis of those algorithms I was analyzing from the mathematical point of view. So at some point, I decided to go and study this a bit further. First place I found was Zurich. So I landed in Zurich from my natal Middle East chaotic mess and had to confront the Swiss order, where I could hardly find a place for myself and had a lot of problems with getting a visa there, since for some reasons the Swiss bureaucratic machines could not find the right a good enough category to give me a visa. And then I started to reflect on order and chaos, who needs the order, and what kind of, let's say, liberating effect does chaos have. And finally, I did get a visa through, indeed, some chaos in the Swiss bureaucratic machine. And this made me ask myself, how is this duality between chaos and order reflected on the web? And the first place, the first answer that comes to mind is, of course, the search engine. Search engines are nowadays the main gatekeepers to this media platform, and they regulate access to information, and decide what we can see and what we cannot see, and what we are most likely to see, and what is there any chance at all that we will see. So a few words on the Google hierarchy, just to set the ground straight. Of course, since you're dealing with billions of web pages, and you cannot serve all the information at one go, there has to be some kind of order hierarchy. And Google's proclaimed order is based on their trademark algorithm. This is called PageRank. This algorithm is based on what they call a democratic voting system. What does it mean for them? That if your site, you have a site, and your site gets a link from an external site, then this counts as a vote in your favor. But unlike the democratic system, not all votes are equal. So if I have a site and a neighbor links to me, it's all fine. But if CNN linked to me, then I hit the jackpot and I will appear first in several queries. The Google founders say that they are influenced. This algorithm, this approach, was influenced by the academic hierarchical system, where if you are a young researcher and you publish a paper, then if a noted scholar mentions, cites your paper, then of course your paper is much more likely to get published and get successful than if it would not have been cited by a noted scholar. And they are from Stanford, so they should know about hierarchy. Besides that, there's another problem, and this is transparency. So PageRank is the only ranking which is open. I mean, Google are using hundreds of other heuristics which are completely invisible to us, and we can all just guess them. Number of clicks, number of, let's say, pages every site has, the advertising power of this platform, etc., etc. And this is a problem when we're talking about openness and democracy. This lack of transparency. So one of the possible reactions to such a thing is to create our own hierarchies, to suggest our own hierarchies, since we do have to have some kind of order when accessing information. Why not suggest different types of orders? So, inspired by the Swiss chaos, okay. So inspired by Swiss chaos and experienced in 2004, I created a year later Schmoogle, which for me celebrates chaos and the advantages and benefits of chaos to me as an individual. So if you type just a regular query here, this little script accesses Google, gets all the responses Google has to offer for art, and brings them back in complete random order, while maintaining a reference to the previous location, the previous rank of the result on Google. Another decision made here is that all results appear in one big heap. There's no page breaks, so you can just simply scroll down and view all the results at one go. Schmoogle in no way pretends to replace Google. It does not serve the same purposes. While on Google, results are organized in a way to be consumed immediately. Schmoogle, if you want to get some kind of specific information out of Schmoogle, you have to work through it a little bit. You have to scroll down and decide for yourself what is interesting and what is not interesting. Another thing is that Schmoogle is also a non-deterministic search engine, in the sense that if you retype the query, you will get the same pages, but all, again, in a random order. So Schmoogle does not pretend to know what is best for you as a user. Schmoogle does not address the common user, does not want to feed you the most popular information. What Schmoogle wants is the user to have a fair chance to look at all the things the web has to offer. It does not replace Google. It, I think, in a way, it completes it. And there's some interesting examples of things you can get on Google, on Schmoogle, that you will not get on Google. Such as if you, yeah. Let's compare what we have for Apple on Google and on Schmoogle. I think your first guess would be that on Google, it would be mainly this computer. And on Schmoogle, yeah, the first result is you have a big Apple circus. I mean, what are the chances of one of us being aware of that? Another good example of research, because I refer to it as a research engine as opposed to a search engine, is when I was looking for algorithmic art. On Google, I would get the first 30 results would be more or less funky fractals, funky fractal sites, which was not what I was looking for. On Schmoogle, what I found was that algorithmic art was way, way, way more than about than about funky fractals, that actually the majority of what the web had to offer about algorithmic arc was not funky fractals, while on Google at the time I was getting the wrong impression. So this is used also as kind of a survey engine. So from this example, which abolishes order, I want to present another project, which in a sense makes use of order as something that can be revealing. Oh, last year, together with artist group De Heusen, we combined our interests regarding images and the relationship between image and information, and created Tracer. So Tracer hacks Google again, this time the image search. And here I'll go into the first version of Tracer. What happens here is that we have a set of queries that were a list of queries that was compiled around a specific subject. In this case, it was, in a way, global conflict. Each query here, Al-Qaeda, America, Blair, Bush, Darfur, etc., etc., is run on Google image search. And all the images, or part of the images, depending on storage space, are downloaded, archived, and placed one on top of each other according to their page rank, according to the rank. Together with every image, we also saved the information, the data around this image. So we are saving the rank, its status, whether the image is still available or not, such as this is the difference between these two. One image is still found, another was not found anymore. We are also saving the name of the image, since the same image can appear in different names, and vice versa. And we're also saving the original URL, so the image can be viewed in its original context, should the user choose to. The images are placed on top of each other semi-transparently, so the changes that a specific rank went through is immediately visible by just scrolling down and looking at it. Here we consider order and all this information we saved as important as the image itself, and as a complementary part of it. It is it allows for at least an attempt to try and analyze what kind of changes and processes went on around this specific topic, and when comparing to different queries, we can also see which queries are more active, which issues are more active through the number of changes in the images themselves, which stacks are more clear than the other, which images are more, which issues are more mediated than the others. An anecdotal example here in the Blair query, you can see that this image, Do No Evil, has been climbing from rank 7 to rank 3 over something like a month and a half. I personally interpret this as some kind of vote against Blair. And when we started tracing it, it was on rank 7. So you can, Tracer allows for browsing through the different tracing dates. So we perceive Tracer as some kind of as a tool that can be customized and adopted to several issues, not only this one. Therefore, we have several versions of Tracers. Another one started recently is around the French Quiro initiative, Quiro search engine initiative. Here is already a a second version of Tracer, which enables also a second view. Here the images are arranged by rank. So in Schmoogle, rank is abolished. Here it is maintained strictly and actually analyzed. Here each page has all the images that appeared on rank one across the different dates when these queries were made. You can browse. Can browse back and forth in the ranks. An interesting example here that comes through is the through is the visual presence, is the visual, the presence of a visual identity of the search engine. While for Quiro there's hardly a visual identity present. For the other European initiatives of search engines, the situation is even worse. Tezeus is the German initiative. Could hardly tell this is about a search engine, if at all. For the Norwegian search engine, Faros, same thing. Where is Faros? Here it is. This, yeah, has hardly anything to do with search engine. Another interesting example of how an image moves moves across different sites and is reappropriated and renamed is the old Minitel. I was very surprised to see that there are still many changing images regarding that historical piece of hardware. So you can see on the first rank, there is a specific image of Minitel called, it's called Minitel 1. Its original size is 300 pixels. Then you move forward, you've seen it reappears on a completely different site. Sorry, still called Minitel 1.jpg with a completely different size again. Scrolling down, third site. What do we have here? Minitel 1.jpg. Fourth site, Minitel 1.jpg. Nobody cares enough about Minitel to change the name of the image, I guess. Minitel. Minitel 13.jpg. And so on and so on. So this is really Woman Soldier is unavoidable, indeed. We have Jewish fundamentalism. And also fundamentalism. Where is fundamentalism gone? Here. So some of the design decisions we made here are, I think, were pretty crucial to us. At the beginning, we were wondering whether to maintain the original sizes of the images, and then we realized that the precision and the size of the images don't really matter in this case. What matters is the context within which the image appears, meaning the set of all images and the specific query under which it appears. Also, we decided to the only way to view an image by itself is by going to the context, to the original site from which it was taken, and view it in its full context, and not provide some intermediary view of it. Yes, and the image information is pretty is easily accessible. And an integral part of the image itself. And we also want to enable a different cross-section view of the processes that have been taking place. So these are two examples that demonstrate the possibility for the user to, let's say, take over the machine in a sense, and to consume information in a more active manner, not to let the machine do all the assumptions for the user, but to have maybe to more information and then to make its own decisions and analyze, criticize, ask questions. Well, I would sum it up by saying that I would like to take technology back one step in a sense and make machines that make a software that puts the machine back in its somewhat dumb position and let the user take back its intelligent position.
Is there any questions that you would like to ask now?
Of course, I saw your presentations many times. We work together also. But I have now a very strange idea. Maybe we could reverse crossing searches by the images themselves, which would mean that now you have a huge amount of compression in time of the images collected and all different searches on top. And maybe it could be interesting to find similarities through the images which are collected. Because obviously you aim at a kind of political area where each group of searches are aiming at. And it would be interesting to see the correlations between the words through the data found. I don't know if it's clear.
So if you mean image-based search, if that was an idea we really wanted to implement, but this borders on AI, and it is very, and science, not even the technology.
But even the name of the images, because you pointed out how they often not even changed the names themselves of the images.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could use that.
Yes, this can be an added feature, I guess. Well, we have to first test if it actually brings the results that we are looking for. But yeah, this can definitely be an added feature, searching by the name of the images and see what comes up.
Thanks.
There's actually one more view in store, which is because if you, through these results, of course you have information about what happens to one image. So one day there will be a green view which allows to see how one image travels through rank and time. So that's part of an answer to what you're asking for.
Okay, thank you, Thila.